Last Thursday, we began looking into what we call the armor of God. The armor of God. And we drew our meeting, our text from this particular part of the Bible. We began by looking into the armor of God in the previous teaching. And we looked at Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to 17. And the Lord began to reveal the meanings of what is known as the armor of God. We looked at all the armors of God. We looked at all of them. We looked at the belt of truth. We looked at the breastplate of righteousness. We looked at the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And the Lord opened our eyes. But time did not suffice us to conclude that meeting. But this is a continuation of it. And tonight we are looking at verses 17 of Ephesians 6. We are looking at what we caption today, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Time could not suffice us. Time could not permit us in the previous meeting. Else we would have concluded this. Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He said, and take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you're listening to this message wherever you are, if you're with us here, it will be nice, it will be good for you to look into the Bible. Because the Lord will be teaching us what I believe we have not known before. Probably you have been hearing the word, the sword of the Spirit. Maybe you've not known what is the meaning of the sword of the Spirit in its breadth and in its height. But tonight it has pleased the Spirit of God to reveal these things to us. And when the Spirit of the Lord reveals such things to us, it's not for it to rest in our head alone, but it is for it to sink into our hearts and bring forth life to us and to our generation. Paul told the church in Ephesus, take the helmet of salvation. We looked at that. Now he is saying, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is what we are looking at tonight, and the word of God is saying today that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Not was, not used to be. There was not a time that the sword of the Spirit was the word of God and later ceased from being the word of God. It continued. It is perpetual. It is perpetually the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. To be a Christian is to be a warrior. Paul writing to Timothy, he admonished Timothy as a soldier of Christ. He said, war a good warfare. So if you call yourself a Christian, you are a warrior. You are not a civilian. That must rest in our minds tonight. You are called into warfare. You don't expect life to be all rosy for you. As long as you have identified yourself with Christ. When we began to look at this Ephesians 6 from verse 10, Paul began to let the church know that we have a battle going on. We have a wrestling competition going on. There is a wrestling competition. And Paul is saying that this wrestling is not with flesh, it's not with blood. It's not with the neighbor that lives close by you. It's not with that person you perceive to be your physical enemy. He said, the wrestling we have is against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness. In essence, our wrestling is with spirit entities, not with material beings. Our warfare is not the one you see physically with your eyes. That is not a Christian warfare. So rest it in your spirit that as long as you are called a child of God, you have identified yourself to be a warrior. A warrior must fight. So as a good soldier of Christ, you don't expect to find it easy in this world, because the world itself is a battlefield. We are in a battlefield. Before the times of the New Testament, the preacher in Proverbs was admonishing people, and he said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. There are weapons going on daily. There are archers shooting arrows into the hearts of many in order to destroy them. But what the Bible is telling us here today is for us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The school I graduated from, Imo State University, I heard yesterday that a particular girl, she's in computer science department, 400 level. God bless you, sir. She killed her boyfriend because the boy said he does not want to do it again. She stabbed him with a knife and she poisoned herself and she died. It happened yesterday. If somebody had told that girl that there are battles in the realm of the spirits, maybe she would have taken her life serious. You think a girl that is in her final year in the university will just come up one day and want to kill a boy that told her he's not interested in relationship again, when there are over 1 billion men out there? A girl that has a prospective future. You think she will just come and kill the boy like that and kill herself? No. There were archers. I talked about archers last time, but we did not understand. There are archers hanging in the heavenly, shooting arrows into hearts. Even the person you think is too strong can fall to the archers. They are shooting arrows. Arrows of depression. Arrows of depression. The arrow of depression, as they are shooting it, the person will become weak. We want to give up everything. The arrows being shot, it will be just cause God and die. There is a wrestling going on. It is against principalities, powers. I said it in the other meeting that it is against spirits that are older than your ancestors. The spirits are older than your generation. We looked at how we can defend ourselves against the spirit. The belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, preparation for the gospel of peace, the shield. We looked at all the armor, shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Now we are looking at the sword of the spirit. In all those armors we looked at, those were the armors we could use to defend ourselves. It is their defensive armors. But the sword of the spirit is a different ballgame. The sword is for the offensive strategy. Paul said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you go and maybe you have all the money in the world, you hire missiles from America, ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. You gather all of them and say you want to destroy all the demons that have been molesting you. You can't touch one. The most sophisticated human technology cannot help you bring down one evil spirit. There is no technology any country can think about that can help you to fight this war we are talking about. It's a war. To be a Christian is to be a warrior. The weapon that we can use to win this war, Paul is telling us today, and the sword of the Spirit. When you look at the Spirit there, it begins with a capital. The sword of the Spirit. The pneuma. The pneuma we are talking about there is not just the spirit of a man. It's the sword of the Spirit of God himself, which is the Word of God. I want us to see what the Word of God is tonight. The potentials that are in this world that we take for granted. If Jesus could wield this sword excellently, it is a clarion call for us to give heed to these things. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10, he began to tell them that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We used to pull down. What we use to pull down these strongholds is the Word of God. You cannot be in this meeting tonight, or you cannot listen to this message wherever you are, and having done that, take the Word of God for granted. It will not be so. The Lord wants us to see the efficacy, the potency in His Word tonight. In the beginning, when God was to carry out His creation program, He did not begin to go and bring many things to create and all of that. He conceived it in His mind first. And what He was releasing was, let there be. Let there be. He was declaring it. He was declaring His word. The word is creative. The word of God is creative. And I tell you, if God said, let there be light, countless times there would never have been light if something did not happen. If God in Himself, in His omnipotency, says, let there be light, there won't be light if something does not happen. What is that thing that must happen? The Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. What? Moved over what? Upon the surface of the waters. The Spirit moved upon the surface, over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be. God will not do it until His Spirit moves first of all. The Spirit is a life-giving power for the Word of God. If the Spirit of God does not go first, the Word of God will be incapacitated. The Spirit had to move, and God said, let there be, and there will. Even before the Word of God could be born, the Bible said the Spirit of God overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and she brought forth a son. The spirit went forth before the word. So the sword we are talking about is owned by the spirit. And the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Look at verse 13 of that Ephesians 6. Paul said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Don't take some and say these ones are not necessary. Don't look into one, forsaking the other. Take unto you the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're in those evil days the apostle is talking about. These are the last days. I told somebody yesterday that we are not just in the end times. We are in the end of the end times. These are the evil days. So Paul is saying, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, that you may be able to stand. Because many are falling. Many are falling off, and it is like a joke, and yet many are falling. The fall we are talking about does not respect anointing, does not respect whether this one has doctorate in theology or whatever. Paul is saying, if you don't take this whole armor, anybody you see that is falling, check where the person has lost so many armor, and they shot the person and the person fell off. Before you see somebody start misbehaving, check where the shield of faith has gone out. The breastplate of righteousness, he forgot it in the market. The shoe for the preparation of the gospel of peace, he sold it. You will see that the person has traded all his armors. You cannot have all the armors of God upon you and still be a subject of the evil one. It's not possible. Paul is saying, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Because the confrontation is fierce. The confrontation is fierce and brutal. It's not a friendly confrontation. It is not a friendly confrontation. That's why we must take all the armor of God. One thing with the sword of the Spirit is that the sword does not only help us to defend against the confrontations of the evil one, against the fiery darts. The sword is not only for us to defend. No, the sword is for us to assail. Assail. Offensive. Let's use the word attack. To attack. To what? Attack. When you have the sword in your hand and you see the wild beast coming, you won't even wait for it to catch you. You won't even go after it. The sword is not merely for us to defend, but for us to attack. The Lord will grant us utterance tonight. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Maybe you were not in the last meeting, or maybe you did not listen to the previous one. You look for a way to get the other message on the armor of God, part one itself. And again, you ask yourself, am I putting on the whole armor of God? Am I putting on the whole armor of God? When you see a prophet like Balaam, that Balak and his senators coincided, and he went to want to curse Israel. When you check, you see that such a one, he does not have the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness has been taken off. He is no longer having a right standing with God. So when a man is no longer having a right standing with God, before you know, covetousness can overtake the person. And the person can fall headlong as Judas did. Take unto you all the armor of God. We are not only taking the helmet of salvation to protect our head, but we are to carry the sword and to do something. That's something we are going to see tonight. There's something, the sword that God has put in our hands, the sword that is called the word of God, there is something it is designed for. There's something it is designed for. We are going to see that tonight. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The days are evil. The days are evil. If God opens your eyes and you see where the arrows that are firing against you, the directions they are coming from, you will take the energy, the more energy. You will take energy that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. If we stand here, the definition from the Greek word itself is to assail in the evil day, to confront the evil one. To confront the evil one in the evil day. I pity the man that the enemy is fighting. Demons are coming out against the man. Principalities and powers have declared the man wanted, and yet the man is wandering in the wilderness without the sword. There is no sword. There is no sword in your hand. You look at your front, you can see the anacondas, pythons. You are looking at your back, you are seeing the roaring lions. Your two sides, there are mountains you cannot climb. How are you going to go? You don't have a sword. Such a person that does not have a sword in such an estate will be consumed. But Paul said, and take the sword of the Spirit. So tonight we have come to take that sword. We have come to take it. And Paul is saying, take the sword of the Spirit, because he knows you don't have it. The life of the Spirit within us determines the sharpness of the sword of God that we wield. If you don't have the Spirit residing within you, if there is no oppression of the Spirit of life in you, as Paul wrote to the church in Romans 8:1, that the law of the Spirit of life, in Romans 8:2, that the law of the Spirit of life has rescued us from the law of sin and death. If you don't have the law of the Spirit of life at work in you, if you are wielding your sword will be blunt. Your sword cannot cut anything. If the Spirit is not residing in you, your sword cannot cut. The sword in your hand can just look like a wood. You may see others carrying sword and you have something too that looks like a sword, but yet it is a wood, it cannot cut. If the Spirit of life is not operating in you, the sword you are holding will be blunt. So the sword we are carrying must be sharp. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. So it is the Spirit that sharpens the sword. If you don't have the Spirit, the sword, the word of God you think you are quoting will not be sharp. You may bind and bind and bind, but not be able to bind one demon, because the sword you are carrying is not sharp. It cannot cut. It cannot pierce to the dividing asunder. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Probably it looks like you have a sword. The sword you have, is it sharp or blunt? That's a question. The sword you are wielding. In all those prayers you pray often that you say you have been praying, and yet it is like nothing is happening. Ask yourself, the sword of the Spirit in you, is it sharp or blunt? It is blunt if there is no operation of the Spirit of life resident in you. Because it is the sword of the Spirit. You cannot wield it without the help of the Spirit. The Lord give us understanding. The Spirit of God in us is the machine, the engine that sharpens the sword. The sword of the Spirit. Demons cannot stand those with this sword we are talking about. Sin and darkness cannot stand the wielding of this sword. I was telling them the other day about something Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians. He said, I give you to understand that none can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Except by what? We have time. Let's journey there. Let me show you something. God willing, one of these days we'll do a study on that place. But let me just point something in relation to the Spirit I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3. Paul is saying, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. 1 Corinthians 12 3. And no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Are you seeing that? No man can say Jesus is Lord, but by who? The Holy Ghost. If I say everybody should shout Jesus is Lord here, I will hear the voice of everybody, even the smallest. But the Bible said no man can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Ghost. What do you understand by that? The Jesus is Lord you are pronouncing, in the name of Jesus you are commanding in the Spirit, will amount to nothing if the Holy Ghost is not in you. You'll be shouting it to be as though you're reciting a poem. Demons will be looking at you. I was sharing here the other day about a particular brother. Before he got born again, demons will gather him. He will shout in the name of Jesus. The demons will be dancing. It's like he's singing a song. The demons will be dancing around. They'll be saying Jesus too. They'll be dancing around. After that, they will beat him. He used to have terrible... In fact, the brother used to have encounters. Sometimes he seals them with his open eyes. He'll say Jesus. They will turn around. They'll be dancing, dance, and they will beat him. None can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. When he got born again, he said those three demons appeared again. And as they came close, he said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. He said all of a sudden, the three demons fell flat. They said, Jesus is Lord. He said, Jesus. They bowed again, said, Jesus is Lord. And they left. He said that was the last encounter he had with them. No man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Forget the false prophets that are using the name of Jesus. When they are calling that, they are attracting another energy. See, in the heavenlies, there are entities that can manifest as Jesus. Are you hearing me? But they are not the Christ. They are not the resurrected one. There was a footballer even answering Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Anybody can answer it. But when you are calling that name, if the operation of the Spirit of life is in you, you'll be attracting the real energy. Hey, you may not understand me. None can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So if the Spirit is not in you, the word of God you think you have been saying, nothing. It will amount to nothing. He said the flesh profited nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. In John 6. He said, the word I speak to you, they are spirit and life. It's the Spirit that is backing the word of God you are wielding. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. So you see why you are being combat and why you are being so much defeated. Being the reason that you are wielding a sword without the owner of the sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit. one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It's unless in a case of divine mercy that the person does not know Jesus at all and is calling Jesus and the Lord Jesus himself manifests to show himself strong and delivers the person and teaches the person to walk in his name, in the reality of his name. Else, if you say you are a professing Christian carrying the Bible and you are living in contradiction to what the word of God is saying, the Jesus you are calling will not be wielding anything in the spirit. Back to our text. Paul says, and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the spirit in the hand of the spirit is very terrible. It can circumcise their heart. It can cut off unbelief. It can terminate sin and doubt. The sword of the spirit. The writer in Hebrews said in Hebrews 4 verse 12. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Powerful, full of power. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even unto the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the bones and the marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. The word is quick and powerful. The word of God. The word of God, you think we are quoting here, is not just quoting. We are wielding power. It is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged. The word of God can kill and can give life. It is called the sword of the spirit. Circumcising the foreskin of the heart. When the word of God is coming, the heart that is living in immorality will be quaking, quaking, searching the heart. When the word of God is coming, not one motivational speaking is coming. When the word of God is coming, it will be circumcising the heart, quickening the heart. You see, the heart that has been dwelling in the valleys of unbelief will be quickened into faith. That is the word of God. It can penetrate into places you think it cannot go. Circumcising the heart cuts off unbelief and doubt. Look at Deuteronomy 32 verse 9. Deuteronomy 32 verse 39. This is live in the spirit. Make sure you open your Bible. Deuteronomy 32 verse 39. God is saying, see now, look properly now that I. He said, even I am he and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive. I kill, I make alive. The word of God can kill. It can give life. A witch doctor that wants to stand against the word of God, it can kill the witch doctor. A witch that wants to manipulate people that are standing on the word can kill the witch. He says, see now that I am he, I kill, I make alive. So the word of God in our hands, we must handle it with care. Because that sword can wound you. In as much as it can heal, it can wound. So we must handle the word of God with carefulness. I pity the ones that will carry the word of God to merchandise it. That same word they are merchandising will soon kill them. He says, see now, I am he. I kill, I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is anyone that can deliver out of my hand. If the word of God is coming and an open man is sitting, the heart of that man will be pounding and pounding. The man cannot survive it. It will kill wickedness in the heart of the man and heal him by giving him salvation. He said, I kill and I make alive. If sin is inside of you, the word of God that is coming can search your heart, kill the sin and heal you into righteousness. I believe in you. Oh, I believe in you. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. Go on.
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you.
The word of God can kill, the word of God can give life. If you are the type that is living in fear day and night, if you can take time with the word of God, fear will die, it will kill it. You are living in fear because you are lacking the word in you. The word will kill fear if you take time in the word. It will kill it. It will kill doubt, it will kill unbelief. It will exalt you from the valley into the mountains of Zion. I kill and I make alive. Anything that is troubling you, the word of God can kill it if you can wield it properly. The word of God kills and gives life. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. Can pierce. Can pierce through bone. Have you seen a sword that will pierce through bone? Come out. Pierce through another. Just be entering anywhere. That is the word of God. It's a sword that we must wield. In order to see the manifestations of the divine promises of God that are hanging over our head. You must learn how to wield the sword. It is not that you have a sword, but learn how to wield the sword. If you have a sword in your hand and you don't use it, there is no essence of having the sword. A man that will have a sword and a tiger is coming to climb on the head of the man, and the man is shouting, but yet he has a sword. When the man is destroyed, it's not the fault of Yahweh. It's the fault of the man because he perished in ignorance. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Lucifer came to him on the mountain, on the wilderness, came to tempt him, turned the stone to bread. He wielded the sword and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written. He said again, cast yourself down. The angels will give you, it is written that the angels will give charge over you. Jesus said again, it is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He is the God of Lucifer, saying you should not tempt him. He came again and said, if you are the Son of God, fall down and worship me. He said, it is written, you shall worship no other God. But the Lord your God, and him shall thou serve. Jesus was weak. He was skillful with the sword. He was skillful. He knows the particular text to attend to employ in any situation. He was a skillful user of the sword. How will you see a warrior that does not know how to use the weapon in his hand? That's why the warrior needs building, training. He said, and I will build my church. I will build. The problem the church has today is that there is no building, no capacity. We are not building people. What we are raising is fans. Fans, my papa, this and that. No building man. When Jesus was to go in Matthew 28, he told them, go into the world and teach all nations. Teach them. So that they will know the Lord their God, not the God of their papa. He prophesied, he said through Daniel, that in the last days, the people that know their God, they shall be strong and do it. Not the people that know the God of their pastor. It's the people that know the Lord their God. It's the ones that shall be strong. Why this generation of Christians are not strong is that they don't know the Lord their God. They know the God of false prophets, but they don't know Yahweh himself. It is the people that do know revelation knowledge of their God. They will be strong. When the wind is blowing, they will stand and they will do exploits. It is those people. It's not the one that are carrying here every day. They want to just leave. Nobody for the world. The world is not in them. They don't even have any relationship with God. Such will be like chaff. The wind will pack. And these are the evil days. Fiery winds are blowing everywhere. Tsunami is coming. Tornadoes. Earthquakes and all of that. But if you are having the word of God, Paul says, stand strong. Jesus knew how to wield the sword. So we must take the sword serious. We must take it serious. Jesus wielded the sword in the wilderness effectively. When Lucifer attacks you, when the devil attacks you, when his demons and his cohorts attack you, you don't use tradition. You don't use culture to confront Satan. You don't use the belief of your ancestors, because these powers we are talking about, they are older than the culture of your fathers. So the culture of your fathers cannot fight them. The tradition of your fathers cannot fight them. But there is something that is older than eternity itself. That is the word of God. That is the word of God. That's what we must build men with. That's what we must build men with. And when you build men with this, you will raise a generation of the strong. You raise a strong generation. You will raise a strong generation. These ones that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. Blessed is that man that is strong. The sword is the word of God. The sword is the word of God. It is used by us in our conflict with the powers of darkness. Excuse me, anybody that tells you that you don't have conflict with the powers of darkness does not like you. Any revelation they are giving to you and telling you that there is no conflict between you and the powers of darkness, they are lying to you. You check even the people telling you those things. You check where. Probably they are falling aside. There is a battle going on day and night. It is in the heavenlies. The place that your natural eyes cannot transcend. Your eyes cannot see it. Unless the Lord opens the eyes of your spirit to see the battles going on against you. But there is something God wants us to do with the sword of the spirit. That's what we are going to see now as we conclude. In Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. Matthew 16 verse 18. This is what the word of God wants from us. I want us to know that any situation that comes to us, there is a word for the situation. Matthew 16, 18. And Jesus said, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I want you to know that Jesus is not saying upon you, Peter will build my church. Peter is too small for Jesus to build his church upon. Peter is too small for Jesus to build his church upon him. It is not Peter. Upon this rock. What is that rock? The rock of revelation. The rock of the revelation of the sword. Where is that revelation? That is where Peter said in verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is saying it's upon this rock of the revelation of me as the Son of the living God. It's upon this rock that I will build my church. Are we following? So the church is not built on a man. The church is built upon Christ himself. Christ is the foundation. Any man that is building must build on the foundation. Christ himself is the foundation. We cannot lay another foundation that is not Christ. Look at it. He said, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The church there, I've told us before, the New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in two languages, that is Hebrew and Aramaic. But the New Testament was in Greek. The Greek word for the church here is ecclesia. And upon this rock of truth, I will build my ecclesia. And the gates The gate is in a plural form. Are you seeing that? Of her shall not prevail. The gate. The Greek word for that gate there is bailia. Bailai. The gates of hell will not prevail. What is that gate there? You check the meaning of that pile, you see very clear that that word means mountain pass, entrance. Entrance. Listen. The gate is a mountain passage. Just like you see rocks. There are passages you pass through in the rocks to enter inside the cave or something. Are we following? It's a passage. So Jesus now says, see, I will build my church. I will build my ecclesia, my army. And the gates, the passages of hell will not prevail. Look at this. What does gate stand for? A gate stands for defense. Gate is built for security against robbers, against strangers. So Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So what is the gate supposed to be doing? The gate is there to defend. So the church is supposed to be in a particular realm while hell is in another realm. Look at the realm we are talking about. The church is supposed to be in the offensive realm. That is to say, in the attacking position. Are you following? And hell should be in the defending. The church is coming against them. Not that hell is coming and attacking the church and the church defending. No. It's supposed to be that the church will be marching and the defense of hell will not prevail. Are you following? So that the defense of hell will not prevail. But today what we have is the other way around. And the gates of hell will not prevail. They prevail there. That Greek word in the real English tense is saying the gates of hell will not overpower. So when the church is coming against the gate of hell cannot overpower the church. Because the church is coming, there must be conflict. There must be a combat. You think you are a Christian, you will not fight warfare in your life. I tell you, you will die wasted. You will fight. You are called to fight. And you have been given a sword in your hand. And the sword, you are going to confront the gate of hell. I will build my church. As long as you are, the church is not, all this building we are seeing, the Antichrist will take over there. It will be torture camps for the Antichrist. It is good that we build cathedrals and all of that, but our revelation is not that the church is the building. We are the church as a people. Now, Jesus is saying, I will build you so that the gate of hell will not prevail. Because why he is building is that you are going to confront hell. Hi. You are called to confront hell. You're not getting me? You are called to confront the powers of darkness. The gate of hell, as Christ has built you, you are marching into those gates with your sword to do something. And what you are going there to do is to liberate the captives. To set free they that are bound in chains and fetters. Taking the sword to the deepest hell to confront and say, Pharaoh, let my people go. You are carrying your sword. Any demon that comes, you are wounding them. Your sword will be stained with blood. Jeremiah 48:10, he said, curse be the man whose sword is not stained with blood. If your sword is not stained, you are cursed. Your sword must be stained with blood. Jeremiah 48:10. What God wants for the ecclesia is to be marching into the terrains of darkness. To go and lose people that are bound by the evil one, by the old dragon. You are going to confront dragons. As some of you think you can carry wood and go. You think you can carry Mamata pistol. Some of you want to carry bedroom slippers. You don't want to carry sword. So that any demon that comes, he said the word is quick and power as you caught. That one is finished. You are cutting with the sword. Listen, even unto the dividing asunder. As you're waiting, that's what even Satan will give way. He will give way. You will come there, release the captives and go. The only thing that can make them touch is when they see that you're not putting on one of the armors. I will build my church. I will build capacity.
quantity of people that know their God. When Jesus says, I will build my church, he's saying, I will build you. You that is seated listening to me. You that is hearing me from anywhere. Jesus is saying, I will build you. Why he is building you is not for you to sit down, cross your leg and chew chewing gum. It's not for you to go and the only thing you want is pizza and ice cream. Ice cream Christianity. He's saying he will build you so that you will go and confront darkness. Hi. If you know what your calling is a bloody calling. You have been washed by the blood. The calling is bloody. So he said, I will build you and the gates of hell will not prevail. You are to be the one wounding, giving Satan nightmare, not Satan pursuing you in the revelation. Not Satan pursuing you in the dream, day and night. Every day they are pursuing you, you are not pursuing. Because you don't have a sword. I will build my church and the gates, the defense. Those people that are bound as you are carrying a sword and entering, demons are giving way. You are setting the captives free to the obedience of Christ. Saying, I will build my church. Jesus wants to build you. And he cannot build you outside the agency of his word. The word is the material to build you. And you carry your sword. And the gates of hell, the mountain passes, the entrance into hell, because you are entering hell in the spirit to lose people, to lose captives. People are bound. Isaiah 42:22. He said, this is the people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. For a prey and none delivered. For a spoil and none said restore. Nobody is restoring these people. But God is giving you a sword. So that you enter into the passages of hell to liberate mankind. To liberate your wounded generation. To liberate the broken. To bring them out. Isaiah says Satan is the one that releases, that openeth not the door of his prisoners. Satan does not open the door of his prisoners. As the church is marching, breaking the door, carrying the sword, wounding anything on sight, and setting free people that are bound. The sword of the spirit in your hand is for you to set captives free. How many captives have you been setting free? With the sword that Yahweh has given to you. I repeat again. He said, cursed be the man whose sword is not stained with blood. That man is cursed. He's a church, but he's a non-entity. He's not relevant to the agenda of the Messiah. Jesus says, I want to build you. Rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. Say, Lord, I will wield my sword. I 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 don't know if you're provoked in the spirit. Are you provoked in the spirit? So Lord, I wield my sword. The power to wield the sword. The power to wield the sword of the spirit. The power to wield the sword of the spirit. Somebody call upon the Lord. Teach me to use the sword. Teach me to use the sword.
Let us go. Amen.
Listen to me. Some years ago, something happened to me. I was sleeping one night, and as I was sleeping, an entity came. I was pressing it. Many years ago, that was to say, the next year after I gave my life to Christ, the entity was pressing me, and I was smiling on my bed. He said, if you know who you depress, Then after that, I woke up. Before I could close my eye again, the thing came like 5 times that night. The thing was pressing me that night. So when I finally woke up that night, that morning, I said something. I faced my window. I said, the word of God said in 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17. He said, do you not know that my body is the temple of the living God?
Mm-hmm.
In verse 17, he said, and whatsoever defileth the temple of God, the same shall God destroy. He said, God shall destroy whatsoever defiles the temple. As any power, whether from any location, whether not his presence, that came to defile me in the night. I said, I bind you and I cast you into the deserts of eternity. Be gone forever. As I declared it in faith, I slept. I had a strong revelation. I saw a beast. It was wearing red and black. The regalia that was flying. The face was like that of a he-goat. The beast came to combat with me. I beat it very well and I carried it. Traveled through the air. Binded it in one desert. Used a stone. Kept on the head and I came out of that vision. I said, confirm. The word of God is weak and powerful.
Yes, sir.
From that day to today, I don't know anything about whether they say something pressing somebody.
Uh-huh.
I wielded the sword of the spirit. It's called a sword of the spirit because the physical sword, sir, if I carry a physical sword and do you like this, it will injure you. But if a spirit comes, no matter sharp that physical sword is, it cannot cut the spirit. The only thing that can cut spirits is the word of God. That's why it is called the sword of the spirit.
God, through his servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360. You can follow Apostle Christian Woke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.forshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Woke. Visit our website www.gagsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's Army Global, bringing the fullness of God to every man and taking as numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.